Joining us on the line now to chat about the Maple Leafs is John Mattis, hockey writer and editor for Post Media and the Toronto Sun. John, how are you doing?
Great, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I think the Maple Leafs coaching staff probably feeling a little bit better this morning as they finally got a full 60 minutes out of their squad last night. A very strong game against the Buffalo Sabres, and one guy that really stood out, I know people were buzzing on social media last night, he didn't score a goal, but Josh Levo had a really strong game, and you know, I think everybody realizes that he most likely is going to make the team as far as the starting roster, the opening night roster goes, because they do not want to expose him to waivers, but could he actually crack the starting lineup and be part of that top 12 on opening night, you think?
It's a hard question to answer because I'm not in Mike Babcock's head. But if you're asking me and what I would do, he'd be on my fourth line. He would crack the opening night roster. This guy's done nothing but produce when he's been given limited ice time in the NHL. You saw last night, you saw last year with 10 points in 13 games. And I think we need to start using the free Josh Levo hashtag, just like the free Frankie Trotto last year, because this guy seems like an NHL player to everyone who watches him. And based on the underlying numbers, but he just hasn't been given an opportunity, and they protected him during the Vegas expansion draft, so they see value in him. It's just a matter of, I guess, finding a fit for him.
Yeah, and obviously it is kind of tough, you know, finding a spot for him, like you said, but, you know, he's clearly a guy that can play on pretty much any line. I mean, like you said, he'll probably, you know, be on the fourth line to start the season if he makes the team and they have him in their opening night. But we saw him last year, you know, slide alongside Nazem Kadri and play on that line. So he's a guy that has some talent. And like you said, I mean, the underlying numbers are strong for him. And at the very least, he's shown an ability to finish at the NHL level. I mean, a lot of guys have, you know, strong underlying numbers, but maybe they don't have the results. But he's a guy that's actually putting up results in a small sample size.
Yeah, you hope that the Leafs don't waste his I don't know if you want to call it his prime here, but his, you know, important development years by having him watching, you know, 90% of the games last year. He got into less than 20, around 18 or so, or maybe even less, and, you know, spent some time in the AHL, but overall didn't play that much hockey. So it's unfortunate the situation he finds himself in, and we hope, at least I hope, that it doesn't turn into any sort of tension between him and the organization. But at some point, if you're Levo, you got to go, hey, I want to play hockey. It's nothing against the Maple Leafs, but like, can you guys figure out a solution for me?
John Mattis, hockey writer and editor for Post Media and the Toronto Sun, joining us here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We know the top nine are pretty much solidified, and you throw in a guy like Connor Brown, obviously, who just picked up a new contract in the offseason. So you're essentially down to the final two spots in the forward. As far as the forwards go, and we know Matt Martin's under contract. Dominic Moore's a guy they brought in the offseason as well. But now you have a guy like Miro Altonen, who impressed last night playing alongside Josh Levo and Connor Brown. Mike Babcock was pretty impressed last night. What can you tell us about this guy? 24 years old, played over in Europe, getting his first taste here in the NHL.
Well, the interesting thing about Altonen is that, you know, Babcock likes his fourth line centers to win draws, to kill penalties, but he's not necessarily that guy, at least yet. That's not been the guy he's been in the past in Europe. Yet, Babcock has praised him, and he's kind of gone out of his way to praise him. So you wonder if they've been convinced by his early showings, and he earns a spot. I think it's him, Kapanen, Dominic Moore, as you mentioned, and Levo fighting for those last two spots, the 12 forward, the 13 forward. So Altonen's kind of made the coaching staff's job harder, and that's in a good way for the Leafs, because he's a guy who can skate, who can move the puck, and who can provide some sort of offense from the fourth line.
The Patrick Marleau, you know, first couple of games here, it's looked good. I think I've been pretty surprised. You know, I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of the signing in the offseason, but I definitely understood where the team was coming from. And, you know, it's crazy that this guy's 38 years old, still skates like the wind, still has all this skill, and it's been pretty evident in these first two preseason games. He's fit in really well, in my opinion. How do you think he's looked?
Yeah, I'd agree. Last night it was good seeing him on the power play and seeing how he works. I mean, keep in mind this is a preseason and they're against an AHL team, basically, as you noted off the top, with the Buffalo Sabres not dressing many regulars. But having him out there with Matthews, Riley, Nylander, and Komarov on a power play unit, it opens the door to possibilities. And one thing that we knew about Marlowe before he came over here is that he can still skate. He's 38, but he hasn't missed a step, unlike a lot of his older peers. And he also is a healthy guy. He's played a ton of hockey the last couple of years, doesn't miss a game, or it's very rare that he does. And he's really showing that durability early on. It doesn't seem like there's any aches and pains going on there. So, you know, the skating's there. I think it'll take time to where he fits in the lineup. Is it with Matthews? Is it with Kadri's line? But I think that's a pretty good problem to have. If you think back to last year's training camp, the big storyline was about Mitch Marner maybe making a team, and then he turns into this 60-point guy. So I think Leaf fans should be pretty happy with Marlowe coming aboard.
John Mattis, hockey writer and editor for Post Media and the Toronto Sun, our guest here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I think all the question marks are really on the back end right now, John. People are wondering, you know, who's going to get that final spot in the third pairing, and how are some of the younger guys up front going to, you know, improve this year? I mean, it's crazy to think guys like Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner thinking of them as young guys because they've been here forever. But Riley scores a great goal last night. We know Mike Babcock's been singing the praises of Jake Gardner for quite some time right now. What are you expecting out of those two guys coming into this year? And I guess you can throw Nikita Zaitsev in the mix as well. I mean, there's a lot of young guys on that decor right now that are really intriguing.
Yeah, I'd say Riley and Gardner, for the first time maybe in their careers, are sort of flying under the radar at camp. And not like they've been on the bubble lately, but there's always been a lot of talk about, you know, what's their fit in the top four. But I think based on last year and the way that things are shaping up with the roster right now, they're two top four guys, and they should be sort of left alone, and we'll see what happens on that front, because there is still some development. You know, is Riley really a number one guy? Probably not. He's probably a number two. Zaitsev, probably a number three. Gardner, I don't know really where he fits on a winning cup contending team, but definitely in the top four. And then you have Hainsey. And then I think the real question mark is a number six defenseman. And I think the Leafs, you know, ideal world, put Dermott in there and everything goes well. But I think they're also hesitant because he's so young and they don't want to throw him in the fire, so to speak. So it seems like Dermott has the highest ceiling out of the bubble guys, we'll call him. You know, got Rosen, Borgman, Narinson, and Polak. Those are sort of that group vying for the six and seven spots. And I think Dermott is definitely a guy that could potentially be a number four down the road. So, or a top four, I should say. So it's an interesting battle. And again, you look back to training camp last year, and it's a world of a difference.
Yeah, and I think that's really sort of the most puzzling part for me about this Maple Leafs offseason. I mean, I understand why they wanted to add a guy like Patrick Marleau, and it's great that they, you know, added a guy like Ron Hainsey. But, you know, you talked about some of the depth that they have aside from, you know, whether, you know, it's Travis Dermott making the team, but after that, it's guys like Callie Rosen and Andreas Borgman, unproven guys, and, you know, maybe Roman Polak does end up making this team. Martin Marincin, I mean, the depth, if guys like Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner go down, it's not very good. If you have to think about some of those other guys having to step up into a more prominent role on the back end there.
Yeah, the Leafs have some good pieces on defense, but if you're looking across the league, they're probably maybe a middle-of-the-pack defensive unit. There's still a need for a number one, and around the margins, there could be some improvement, but they're getting there. And Hainsey, I guess, was an okay signing short term, but he's not a long term solution. I mean, they need that real stud to come in at some point, and he's sort of the missing piece. You know, an Ekman Larson or whoever, a straight number one who can carry an offense. You know, number one guy on the power play, you know, a penalty killer, that guy you can really rely on for 30 minutes. So the Leafs aren't there yet in regards to defense and the way that things shake out, but they definitely have three to four pieces that are going to be here for a long time and that are going to be quality NHLers.
John Mattis, hockey writer and editor for Post Media and the Toronto Sun, joining us here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And like we just talked about, John, the Buffalo Sabres not exactly rostering a lot of NHL guys last night. The goaltending tandem of Curtis McElhinney and Garrett Sparks not too busy last night, making 18 saves in the tag team shutout last night of the Sabres. And I think that's another kind of issue that doesn't get talked about too much right now is the backup goalie situation. And it obviously looks like Curtis McElhinney has the leg up, you know, after coming over in that waiver pickup last year and obviously performing well in his half season with the Maple Leafs. But if Freddie Anderson has to go down for any period of time, especially a long one, how comfortable are you with either McElhinney or Sparks having to step up and play a bigger role?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the other question mark. You know, Freddie Anderson proved last year that he's perfectly fine as the number one, and on a winning team, he can be the number one goalie and everything will go smooth. But when he goes down, you know, what's option number two? We know how important backup goalies are now in the league, and especially with Freddie Anderson. Is he going to play 65 games a year, every year? I don't know. So what do you do with that extra, with all those extra games? And McElhinney is not the solution long-term, and it's a little, I wouldn't say concerning, but it's a little puzzling this year going in, you know, that he was a guy that they brought back. They couldn't find anyone better than him. He's had pretty bad numbers over his career, impressed obviously over his brief stint last year, and maybe, you know, the coaching staff liked how he was, you know, just a veteran guy who flew under the radar and wasn't, you know, creating a fuss, and it's just sort of the backup. But long term, you hope, if you're a Leafs fan, that Garrett Sparks turns into something. But his ceiling also isn't very high. So yeah, that's a storyline to look out for, especially if Freddie Anderson goes down. I think it would be a matter of picking up someone from another team. I don't think either of these guys are ready for a fill-in role over any sort of long stretch.
One more before we let you go, John. I know you recently wrote about the Carolina Hurricanes. You had a chance to speak with head coach Bill Peters and GM Ron Francis of Carolina. And they're a team that obviously has had a bit of a slow rebuild here in Toronto, getting Austin Matthews and getting some high draft picks. They've been able to accelerate the process. But the Hurricanes, slow and steady, and it really seems like they have a lot of buzz heading into this season as sort of a sneaky playoff contender. What were you able to learn about them getting a chance to talk to some of their front office guys?
Well, what I learned is that they seem to be on the same page, Bill Peters and Ron Francis, and they both came in around the same time. Francis was hired, and then he hired, Francis was promoted. He was already within the organization, but he went out and hired Bill Peters from Detroit. And since then, they've been building towards something special. Is something special happening this year? I don't think so, but maybe 2 years down the road, when a guy like Sebastian Aho is able to slide into the number one center role, if all goes well in his development, and maybe they add a couple of pieces up front. But elsewhere, assuming Scott Darling, someone who they picked up in April, turns out to be a quality number one goalie, that's a huge plus. And their defense, as well documented on the internet and elsewhere, it's young, it's deep, and they're all under reasonable contracts. So there's a lot to like about the Hurricanes long term. They've managed to put together a team already that maybe lacks firepower, but a deep team that is young, that has a lot of cap space, and that has done this, you know, kind of piece by piece. They haven't tanked. They haven't gotten a Matthews or McDavid. You know, Noah Hanifin was their highest pick lately, so and he's turned into a pretty good player, and then who knows what his ceiling is. But they've gone about it a different way. They've been kind of forced to do that based on the lottery balls and where they've gone. But also it seems like Francis and Bill Peters have really figured out a way to calm the fan base and go, hey, this is a long-term process. We're making it happen. We're not making, you know, knee-jerk decisions. And we'll see what happens this season, but I would not be surprised if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Maple Leafs fans would love to have that decor that the Carolina Hurricanes have right now. Just all young guys and all, you know, very, very solid NHL players. So it'll be interesting. I think, you know, people talking about the Sabres and Leafs rivalry, I think the Carolina Hurricanes, when they square off against the Maple Leafs, I mean, I think there's going to be some pretty entertaining hockey games this year between those two squads. We really appreciate you jumping on today and giving us some of your time, John. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.